And the scripture reading this morning will be verses 12 to verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter. Continuing our messages here from the book of 1 Samuel. Last week we looked at Hannah's prayer. It was a prayer and a song that she prayed and sang to the Lord, and the reason that she did that is because God had answered her prayer, and she was just praising the Lord that He was such a good, gracious Heavenly Father, and for all the things that He had done and all the things that He would do. And so now we are going to get into the real reason, and it'll become much clearer to us why that God is going to bring Samuel into the world. And why He needs to bring him into the world. And that is because of the two sons of the priest of Eli called Hophni and Phinehas. That was their names, Hophni and Phinehas. They're not mentioned in this portion of Scripture, but they are mentioned in the first chapter. And so we're going to find out about the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. This morning we want to look at the sin of the sons of Eli. Apply that to ourselves. But before we read the Scriptures, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your amazing grace, for what You've done for us. We do thank You for salvation that is free and clear through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come before You this morning and we present ourselves to You. Father, we pray that You would speak to us. We pray that You'd open up hearts, open up minds, open up our ears. Help us to see, help us to know, help us to yield to You, help us not to be obstinate against Your word. I pray that, Father, You would help me to say things that are needful and necessary, and just lead and guide us and direct us, and we'll thank You for it. Lord, we love You and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope that you're already there in your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter number 2. It starts in verse number 12, and here we have the problem. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came with the flesh while it was seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. And all that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, "Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have it sodden flesh of thee, but raw." And if any man said unto him, "Let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth," then he would answer him, "Nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force." Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Here, it doesn't mention here how many sons he had, but it's two sons. It's the two sons of Eli. Their names are Hophni and Phinehas. They're raised in a godly home, at least I believe that Eli was somewhat of a godly father. I believe that he did try to teach his kids right, his two boys right, Hophni and Phinehas. I believe that he tried to rear them in a godly home. And here they are, these two boys are working in the temple and they are taking the sacrifices that people would bring for their sin offering. And I believe that they were brought up in godly homes, but yet their lives did not reflect their upbringing. And it's not that these two boys grew up and then decided that they're not good. Well, as a matter of fact, they couldn't, but they didn't leave church, so to speak. Well, they weren't going to church like we go to church, but they didn't just quit church after they got out of the house. They stayed in the ministry. They were working in the temple. They were taking these sacrifices, but yet they are wicked, wicked men. And it says in verse number 17 that the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. It doesn't tell us how old they were. It doesn't tell us their ages. We can only guess. Maybe they were in their late teens, early 20s, maybe early 30s, something like that. They'd been taking the sacrifices for some time, but what was the sin that was so great before the Lord? Well, these offerings that they were bringing were supposed to be sacred offerings. The people would bring an offering to the priest, and the priest was supposed to cook it. It was supposed to be cooked. But before they would cook it, it was supposed to be offered to the Lord. The part of the offering that was supposed to be offered to God was the fatty part. It was all the fat on it. That was supposed to be the best part of the animal. I'm going to offer that to the Lord. Sacred thing. Consecrated to God. But yet these boys said, hey, wait a second. Before you cook that, let me get my three-pronged fork in there and get out what I want. I'm going to take it. And they met resistance. No, wait a second. We've got to cook that. It's supposed to be cooked. And the sons of Eli, they didn't want cooked meat. They wanted raw meat. They wanted to take what they wanted for themselves. And they were taking that holy offering and that holy sacrifice. And we don't know what they were doing. Maybe they just wanted to cook it for themselves however they wanted to cook it. I'll take this for me and I'll cook it how I want. Or maybe they wanted to take it to a meat market. Sell it on the meat market. It's a lot easier to sell if it's raw meat. They're going to pocket the money. That's not what they're supposed to be doing in the temple. They're supposed to be offering these sacrifices for a sin offering for the people. And it's supposed to be holy and it's supposed to be sacred. It's supposed to be something that's very special. And then if they met any resistance, if someone says, no, we're not going to give it to you now, we're going to go ahead and cook it, they said, no, if you don't, we're going to take it by force. You better give it to us now. And they'd get up in the faces of people. They weren't kind men. They would take it by violence. We're taking this stuff. And they were stealing the sacred sacrifice of something that belonged to God. They were going to take it. And it says that men abhorred the sacrifice of the Lord. That means that the people that came and were going to offer these sacrifices, they started not wanting to come anymore. They started saying, man, you know how those priests are down there at the temple, tabernacle. You know how they are. They're not very kind men. They steal the things that belong to the Lord. And it's a big joke down there at the tabernacle. These guys are supposed to be godly men. They're supposed to be standing in the place of God. They're supposed to be the mediators that God has set up for us. And yet they're taking the things that belong to God. I don't even want to take stuff down there anymore. I don't want to deal with that stuff anymore. And so they affected others by their deeds. It says the sin was very, very great before the Lord. There's a lot of underlying issues that we're going to look at this morning as to why these boys were doing the things that they were doing. And examine the sin of the sons of Eli, because it wasn't just that they were doing this. You need to look at the root. You need to look at why they are doing the things that they are doing. And God is looking down and He's saying, I'm getting rid of these guys and I'm going to get me another priest. His name's Samuel. And that's why He gave Hannah a son. Replace these two guys. What was the sin of the sons of Eli? How is it manifested? Well, the first thing that I noticed is a lack of character. It was who they were as a person. That's why they were doing the things that they were doing. It says in verse number 12, it says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. Now I want you to notice there, you're given a comparison there. First you have the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. Number one, they were the sons of Eli. Now, Eli was a priest, and he was a Levite. And if you were a Levite, you went straight into the priesthood. That was your job. If you were a son of a priest, you went into the priesthood, and you became a priest if you were in the tribe of Levi. That's the only job you had. That's all you had. You couldn't go out and you couldn't be a farmer. You couldn't go out and sell merchandise. You couldn't go out and get you a career or anything like that. You had to become a priest. And you did all of the tabernacle sacrifices for the people. You ministered to the things of the Lord. That's all you did. And if you're a son of a priest, that's where you go. It says they were the sons of Eli. And if you were to look at the sons of Eli, you'd look back at their dad and you'd say, well, I understand why they are. They get all their physical characteristics from their dad, all their physical traits from their mom and their dad. I don't know if they were tall, skinny, short, fat, stocky, had long hair, no hair, had any hair. But whatever they had and whoever they were, whatever their personalities were, introverted, extroverted, whatever it might be, quiet, loud, whatever it might be, they were that way because of their dad. They were the sons of Eli. You know, I am the way that I am today, much because of my dad and my mother. Same way with you. Got all your genes. All your genes came from your mom and dad. Why you are the way that you are, why you look the way you look, how you turned out the way you turned out, physically speaking, emotionally speaking, it all comes from your mom and your dad. You get those genes. You are the son of your father or your mother. You got it all from them. But the scripture said they had another father. It says they were not only the sons of Eli, but they were the sons of Belial. Now, who or what is Belial? Belial means without profit, worthlessness, destruction, wickedness, evil, naughty, ungodly, wicked. That's how the Bible describes these boys. And every time that you read the word Belial in the scriptures, it's always coupled with son of Belial, children of Belial, daughter of Belial, son of Belial. Always coupled with that, except for one time that I found. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 says, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" Paul contrasts Christ with Belial. What is opposite of Christ? It's Satan. Belial is Satan, who is opposite of Christ. And so, likewise, who is opposite of a believer in 2 Corinthians 15? It's an infidel. So Belial is another name for Satan. Sons of Belial. So if you are a son or a daughter, child of Belial, you are an infidel. You are someone who does not believe. You are someone who refuses the word of God and who refuses to submit and obey the word of God. You are a lawless or spiritually worthless person. That's the way the Bible describes it. Why do you do the things that you do? Why do lost people do the things that they do? Why do they reject the word of God? Why do they reject the commandments of God? Why do they reject Christ? Why? Because of who they are. You inherited your genes from somebody, spiritually speaking. And the root cause of the sin of the sons of Eli was their character. It just who they were as a person. And you and I ought to know this. The root cause of sin in this world is the root cause. I mean, you could look at a lot of different things. You can look at the circumstances people are raised in. You can look at their childhood. You can look at how they're raised with their parents. But the root cause, the reason why people do the things that they do is just their genetics. It's their nature. They have a fallen nature. And that's where they got it from. They got it from their father. Jesus Christ confronted the Pharisees in John chapter number 8, and he pointed out their root sin. He said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He says, if you were, and by the way, they were very sure that they were of God. They said, our father is God. He is our father. And Jesus said, well, if God was your father, then you would love me because I came forth from my father. It's affected what you love. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He says, why can't you understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word, You won't listen to me. You can't listen to me. And he says, you are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Why were they going to murder Jesus Christ? Their father. Their father. It all stemmed from their nature. They didn't want to hear what God has to say. And so we know the root sin. All of the origin comes from the heart or the nature of man. And why were these men doing this? They were wicked in their hearts. They were sinful in their hearts. They had a nature that was driving the whole thing. They lacked character. They also lacked knowledge. We find in verse number 12, it says, and they knew not the Lord. It was who they failed to know. They didn't know the Lord. Amen. Now, when you read the word know in the Bible, it's not always going to be, well, I know a few facts in my head, and I know some things. It's not always just knowing facts. That's not always what know means. Knew, know, means to know someone in an intimate or to be close in an intimate, loving relationship. When Adam knew his wife Eve, they knew each other in a loving, intimate relationship. They were close. And it's not that Hophni and Phinehas, well, they just didn't know the facts about God. They just didn't know the facts about the Lord. Remember, they were raised up in a godly home. They ought to know the law. They ought to know the facts about the Bible, but they did not care to obey those things. They did not want to obey those things, and so therefore they did not know or love the Lord in an intimate way. You think about these men. These guys came from the tribe of Levi. These guys were raised by a priest who had always dealt with tabernacle sacrifices and things of the Lord. He knew the Word of God. They should have known God better than anybody else in the nation of Israel. They were there with the presence of God in the tabernacle. That's where God dwelt. Not everybody got to do that. But they were there every single day. And they were supposed to be offering sacrifices for the sins of the people. They were supposed to know what the Word of God required. You'd think that they would know that. But there they were, and we have the statement about these young men. They knew not the Lord. They might have had some head knowledge. They may have known some things, but they didn't want to follow up on it. You know, sometimes children do not follow in their parents' footsteps when it comes to knowing the Lord. It doesn't always happen. We read in the Scriptures in Judges chapter 2 and verse number 10, it makes this profound statement. After Joshua died, there came up a generation that knew not the Lord. Now Joshua had led the children of Israel into the promised land. They saw the Red Sea parted. They saw the walls of Jericho fall down. They had seen the mighty works that God had done, and they knew the Lord. But one generation later, we find that here comes up a generation that knows not the Lord. Amen. It's a great sin to know not the Lord. Amen. Now, Eli obviously knew the Lord. Did he teach his kids? The Bible doesn't say. But what about these boys? Maybe they just rebelled against their father's teachings. At any rate, they knew not the Lord. There's one thing I want to let you know this morning, and that is this. You cannot know the Lord without knowing His Word. You can't know God apart from the Scriptures, because this is where God reveals Himself to you. You're going to find a lot of false teachers out there, and I don't want to get on a rabbit trail, but they say, God told me something. If it doesn't say it in His Word, you don't listen to people like that. Amen. Because He doesn't speak audibly to people anymore. You cannot know God apart from His Word, and God must reveal Himself through His Spirit and through His Word. You can't know God apart from His Word. We find in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 7 about Samuel, it says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. You must know the Word of God if you're going to know God at all. Now, you can know that there is a God. You can know that there is a Creator. You can look around at the stars and the moon and the creation and say, yes, there is a God, but you can't know Him intimately apart from His Word, apart from what He said. And these boys are deciding we're not going to follow in our Father's footsteps anymore. They said, we're not going to honor our father and our mother anymore. Do you know, if you don't honor the heavenly authorities, you're not going to honor the earthly authorities. And these boys said, we're not going to do that. Now, they had a lack of character. They had a lack of knowledge. But they also, it also affected what they did. They had a lack of holiness. Now, here they are, and they're supposed to be offering these sacrifices to the Lord, and it's supposed to be special. It's supposed to be sacred. It's supposed to be holy. And they don't care. It ain't holy to them. They're going into the tabernacle, into the holy place, the place where God dwells, and they don't care about it. Jesus Christ came into the temple when He lived on this earth, and He came in and saw that they were selling things in the temple, and He started overthrowing the money changers and saying, you have made My house into a den of thieves, My Father's house into a den of thieves. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. You're not treating it holy anymore. They had lost their holiness. They don't consider things to be holy anymore. I'd like to ask you this morning. Have you lost your sense of holiness to the Lord? Counted the things that God counts holy as not holy anymore? It can happen. Paul the Apostle wrote to Titus, and Titus was a pastor. And he had some people that were infiltrating his church. They were Jewish false teachers trying to come in and subvert the gospel and subvert people. And by the way, they were succeeding. Trashing whole houses, spiritually speaking, whole households, whole families being destroyed, souls being destroyed because of their false teachings. He said, don't give heed to Jewish fables, commandments of men. He says about these people, these false teachers, he says that unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They don't care that they're destroying lives. They don't care that they're destroying whole families. You know why? Mind and conscience is defiled. They don't think anything's holy anymore. They don't think the Word of God is holy anymore. They don't think that families are holy anymore. And another quick example from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 2, again about false teachers. It says that their conscience is seared with a hot iron. They go in and they'll teach false doctrine, and they don't care that they're damning souls to hell. People aren't holy to them anymore. Word of God's not holy to them anymore. They don't care anything about it. And their conscience is seared with a hot iron. You know what? They don't even care that they're teaching false doctrine. Doesn't even bother them anymore. Do you know that conscience is the God-given sense that He's given to each and every person on the face of the planet that tells you something? It tells you what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil, what you ought to do and what you ought not to do. But you can defile that conscience. Yeah. Kind of like if you were to take your hand and you've got nerve endings on the end of your hand. You can feel things. You take that hand and you put it on a hot plate. Been on the stove for a while and it's good and hot. You know what you're going to feel? Pain. And your brain's going to tell you, hey, that hurts. Take it off of there. That hurts. I'm trying to tell you something. That's dangerous. Stop that. What if you ignore that and say, I want to keep it on there. Just keep your hand on that hot plate for a while. You know, after a while, your hand's not even going to feel anything. And you can just fry your hand up like a hamburger patty. You just ignore what your brain is telling you. You can do the same thing with your conscience. Your conscience can be telling you what's wrong, telling you things are wrong, and it's sending pain, saying, hey, that hurts. Don't do that. You better do that. You better do this. You better do that. That's wrong. And you keep on ignoring it. Nah, I don't care about that. You just keep right on sinning. Keep right on doing the things you've been doing. And pretty soon that little voice is not going to be saying anything anymore. And then pretty soon you're going to be doing the things that you never thought you'd be doing in your entire life. I never thought I'd find myself doing this. And I've just progressed so much. But now I don't even feel bad about it. I can commit all kinds of wickedness and lewdness and things, and boy, I just feel fine about it. And committing sin against God, you won't even matter anymore, because you don't even feel it. And you just lose your sense of holiness and your sense of specialness before the Lord. That's what the sons of Eli were doing. Maybe they started out not stealing too much. They started with just a little bit. And then after a while, they started doing a little bit more, and now they are taking people by the collar and saying, "Give it to me now, or else there's going to be price to pay." They've lost their sense of holiness. And there they are defiling the sacrifices that were meant for something special. And now they're putting their money in the pocket. Maybe they never thought that they would make it that far. You know what's happened to America, and even Christian America today, is that we've lost our moral compass. We have lost any sense of real holiness in the world and in the nation. There's nothing special anymore. There's nothing sacred anymore. Nothing is sacred. Marriage is not sacred. Anybody can get married now. I mean, it used to be reserved for a man and a woman, but now it's not a man and a woman. Anybody can get married. That's fine. And it's how far are we willing to take this? How far are we going to sink? Because marriage is not sacred anymore. Anybody can get married. Children are not sacred anymore. They're exploited sexually for money. On television, the internet. I don't care. That's fine. Getting younger and younger and younger. They're young girls that are being exploited. They're being molested in the United States. They're being used as toys. Children are. They're not special anymore. They're not sacred anymore. Our young women are being exploited and sold on the internet. Not special anymore. What about human life? Human life is not holy anymore. It's not sacred anymore. We don't care. We'll kill them in the womb. Use them for body parts. Use them for other things. We're just like another item on the shelf. Human life is just not holy anymore. We don't care. Well, we won't get into that, but genders aren't sacred anymore either. You mean a man and a woman? Who would have thought a few years ago that we would be having this discussion? Young boy doesn't want to be a boy anymore. He thinks he wants to be a girl. Okay, we'll just start cutting body parts off and adding body parts, and we'll make you what you want to be. Genders aren't sacred anymore. Vice versa for boys and girls. Nothing sacred. You know what? One thing is sacred in America. One thing is sacred. The feelings of some people. And it's only some people. Not all people. Just some. Other than that, nothing else is sacred. Nothing else is sacred. God is not sacred. Oh, you believe in God, do you? Oh, yeah. Oh, he's just an idea. Those old ancient people used to believe in. Yeah. That Bible, well, everybody's got a Bible. Everybody's got a sacred book. And now you got your idea of God, and I've got my idea of God. And really, there is no God, because it's just all a figment of your imagination. God is not sacred. Oh, fear God. Oh, we don't have any kind of authority over us like that. We are our own gods, and we can do whatever we want. Nothing's holy anymore. Nothing's sacred anymore. Same way with these boys. They got to that point where nothing was holy. The things of God weren't holy. That was their sins. There's some final observations I want you to notice. The first thing is this, is that godliness is not passed down through human genes. Just because you have godly parents, or you might have godly parents, or you might not. You got Christian parents. Just because you have Christian parents or godly parents does not mean that you're going to turn out good too. It doesn't mean that automatically. Doesn't mean that. Children who are raised in Christian homes, of course, they have a better chance of salvation. They're going to have a better life, hopefully. But that doesn't mean that you're going to turn out godly too, children. You have to set up your own walk with God.
Amen.
You have to make your own choices. Just because mom and dad are Christians does not mean that you will automatically be a Christian. You think about David and Absalom. Well, David was a man after God's own heart. Look what happened to Absalom. He was just a rebel. And just because his dad was the king did not mean that he was going to turn out right. And he didn't turn out right. So therefore, it does not come automatically. You know, these boys right here, they probably thought, well, you know, since dad is Eli and he's a priest in the temple, since he's a godly man, God's going to give us a break. We can get away with this. We can do the things. And by the way, they were not only doing this. We'll get into this later in the story, but they were fornicating with the women of the temple. And they were doing all kinds of horrendous things. And they thought, you know, if dad's the priest, well, then we can get away with it. You're not going to get any slack because your parents are Christians.
That's right.
You have to give an account of your own sins and your own life. Not mom and dad. Mom and dad are not going to be able to do it. It's not passed down through human genes. Second thing is this. That fathers and mothers play an important role in the spiritual development of their children. They do. And you and I, as parents or grandparents or whatever you are, you and I have a responsibility to teach our own kids the Bible and what is right and wrong about God. We do. It's our responsibility. Now, it's great that you bring your kids to church, and you ought to bring your kids to church, but it's not the church's responsibility to raise your kids or my kids. It is your responsibility, individually, to teach your kids about what's right and what's wrong. Did Eli do this? It doesn't say. Looks to me like he may have failed. I don't know. But it looks like he may have failed in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, the commandment for parents. God told the children of Israel, "Thou shalt teach these commandments diligently unto thy children. When you get up in the morning, when you walk in the way, when you lie down, all of the time, you must teach your own kids." It's not the state's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility. It is our responsibility as parents. And many times, not always, so don't quote me and say, well, Brother Jeff is throwing a blanket statement out there. Not always, but many times children fail because parents fail. And God has given us this task of teaching them. Ephesians 6:4 says, "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That's our responsibility. Now, these boys rebelled. And they decided they were not going to follow the Lord. They're not going to follow their parents. Children, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility, and there's nothing that you can do about it to change it. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:1-3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." The Bible commands children to obey their parents. And if you disobey your parents, you're not going to come out on the winning side. I know you think you're going to. I know you think you're going to have the upper hand and you can snub your nose at mom and dad and come out and say, "Oh, I beat them." But one of these days you're going to turn around and say, "I lost. I lost. I should have listened. I should have listened." Because it goes on to say, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Honor your father and your mother. Because if you don't, you're not going to have a good life. Honor your father and your mother. You may not like them too much, but you have to honor them. Because they are your authority. You must obey. And then number three is this. You must be born again.
Amen.
You must be born again. These boys, it says, were sons of Belial. That was the root sin of their problem. And you must have a new birth. External reformation is not going to cut it. Turning over a new leaf, making a New Year's resolution, those are all fine things, but they are not the fix. You must be born again. You must have a new birth. You must be born from above. The Bible says you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you have that new birth. And you know what that new birth does? That new birth changes your parents, your father. You now have a new heavenly father. Changes your DNA. Changes your genetics. Changes your destination. You're no longer going to hell, you're going to heaven. And it changes your life. Your entire life. Because it changes who you are genetically. I mean, can you have a genetic change and not have a change of life? It's impossible. You can't. So you must be born again. And you can only be born again through believing the gospel. Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross. And he was buried. And he was raised again on the third day. And you must submit to him. You must believe on him. You must accept him as your only hope of salvation. Do you believe on him? Do you trust him? That's your only hope that you have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you that you've given us a hope through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to fall into sin. I pray that you'd lift us back up, and we do. I pray that you'd lead us and guide us and direct us and help us. Lord, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.